All right, hello, Bastian.
Hi, Justus, what's up?
Welcome to the first episode of Onion Opinion, the opinions that make you cry.
And stuff like that. Okay,
so,
I know.
So welcome everybody to this wonderful new podcast. And in the first 10, 15 seconds, we really just wanted to tell you what we're doing here so you know exactly if it's for you or if it's not for you. So, from my point of view, and we might debate about that, from my point of view, this is really about finding cool stuff during challenging times like these where we have COVID going on. And honestly, I have gone through all of Netflix. I've probably gone through half of Google Podcasts and iTunes Podcasts. And it's really hard to find kind of navigation across all these different kind of things and pieces of content. So I want to just really talk about some things that I'm interested in and give you a TLDR, a too long didn't read for or didn't consume, for all the things that I find cool, and then basically tell you what I think and what Bastian thinks, and then see if it's something for you. That is kind of my objective. Bastian, what about you?
Yeah, sure, let's go with this. I mean, my objective more, I want to trash talk about stuff. And
maybe give
a positive shout out to something, but let's see how it goes.
But that,
I'm more the gossip girl of the two of us, I guess.
The gossip girl, okay. Well, for today, I made a very constructive proposal that we talk about something that I find really fascinating and really cool, which is a podcast. So today, in my box of things that I'm bringing to this podcast is podcast, and maybe some of you know it, and maybe some of you have listened to some of the episodes. There's episodes that are like 3 hour long. This one is really just, I think, 38 minutes. So it's a really snackable piece of content. And it's the Artificial Intelligence Podcast, the AI Podcast, with MIT, I think, Professor Lex Fridman. And it's number 82. And it's the episode where he talks to Simon Sinek, that leadership dude, about leadership, hard work, optimism, and the infinite game, which by coincidence, I think is a book of Simon. And I really just wanted to talk through what they're talking about and then have a discussion really around the individual topics. Sound good to you, Bastian?
It sounds amazing. Just to clarify, the podcast is 38 minutes, but there are like 7 minutes of advertisement for himself and that you should give him money. This one we can, so just fast forward over the first 5 minutes, but afterwards it actually gets quite good.
So maybe just to give you an overview of what they're talking about after basically a Lord of the Rings length period of advertising, which makes me fall asleep, and I guess that's probably just how he finances his podcast. They're talking about first the finite and infinite game. So that's definitely something I want to talk about with you. They're talking about optimism, then mortality, which I feel like is super dark, so I really just don't want to go into it for now. Hard work, and then finally leadership. And for me, I think the most important or interesting topic really was that finite and infinite game, hard work, and leadership. Like that, those were the three kind of subtopics that I really liked the most. What about you, Bastian?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, it was a roller coaster of topics. I don't really understand how they moved from one topic to the next sometimes. Overall, it was, I have to say, great podcast, great communication. It's just listening to some very interesting thoughts. And I mean, we can go with the first one. It's like the infinite game, which coincides.
How would you define the finite and infinite game? Like, how did you understand that? What is a finite game versus an infinite game?
I think it's a basic concept of how you view the world. It's there are always two thought processes that we are focusing in. It's ultimately what he argues is, hey, we're all playing a game that we can't win. We don't know the players, we don't know how long the game will be, and we don't even know the rules. So we are trying to make sense of it by framing in it a certain rules that have defined winners and defined losers. So ultimately we are making it into a zero-sum game, where he argues, actually, there are no rules, so everybody can define for themselves what success is. And that led then into the next topics, which was super interesting.
Yeah, like, for me, he really just shits on the whole economy. Like, it's that, it's basically like, all businesses globally pretend that business is a finite game where you can actually win. But in reality, it's an infinite game, which you can't win. And the only goal within an infinite game is to stay alive as long as possible, and, like, have fun along the way. And he's, like, basically, like, nobody gets this. Everybody is just stupid, and, like, everybody is just playing this finite game. Which is, I think, true to a certain extent. Like, looking at my everyday work, like, we're always trying to be better. We're trying to win. We're trying to, like, I don't know, like, be better than the competitor. And, like, eventually, like, does it really matter?
No, yeah, I get this point, but I disagree with his assessment. In the end, yes, it's an infinite game, but it sounds shitty, but you can define winners and losers if you don't look at it as an infinite game. If you say, okay, I step into the game, I take all my profit out of it, and then guess what? I peace out, you exit the game, you can come in, you can come out of it as a winner.
Probably true, just only that you have to create bubbles of finite games within this infinite game, right? You have to create contests. Like he makes the analogy of a football game where, like, for these, I don't know how many minutes or hours, you're playing a game, and it's clearly defined as the team with, the highest score wins. But eventually, the people that are in the team are players of a wide, like, even bigger game, which is, like, the game of life. And whatever. I think it's interesting how he makes that distinction.
But that goes back to his topic where he ultimately says, like, okay, you know, there's a game, we don't know the rules. So once you defined what success or what winning means, and everybody can define this for himself, then you also can create your subset of rules. Let's say, I mean, you know, I work for a relatively well-known electronic device manufacturer, let's call it this.
Did you invent your Tamagotchi? Is that what you work for?
Almost. The next level Tamagotchi nowadays. No, but yeah, in the end, I know this company is changing in its purpose. I know that this company is doing well. For me, how do I define success? Yes, I enjoy what I'm doing, but I know that it's not infinite. There's a time-based exit strategy in place. So for me, I define, for me, winning as how much knowledge and how much money I can accumulate before I leave. And then I'm starting a new game.
A good analogy would be, like, you know the game Mario Party that you can play on the Nintendo Switch? And, like, you have this Uber game, which is Mario Party. And within that kind of container game, there's multiple mini games. And that is basically what you're describing. Like, you're playing mini games, and these mini games are clearly defined. You can eventually not win Mario Party. The whole goal of Mario Party is to have fun and to play it as long as possible. But, like, you can win the mini games.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect kind of analogy.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that actually goes right into the follow-up points that they made when they said, like, oh, okay, you know, what makes a great company? And they named Amazon, they named Tesla, they named Microsoft, they named Apple, Google, and so on. But they said, like, oh, yeah, that's because people go there and they have a vision, they have a purpose. So the companies and the leaders, they create this kind of passion where they say, like, ultimately argue, hey, you know what? If you don't like it somewhere, then just leave. So that's a very privileged standpoint, I think.
That's true. I think not everybody has the option to choose. Like, I can't just say, oh, I want to work for Amazon tomorrow because they have a great vision, and then, like, just go ahead with it. There's fierce competition. Not everybody is actually just able to apply and, like, get chosen and, like, get a job at one of these companies. I don't know if, like, somebody who's working for, maybe in the US, maybe for Walmart, is finding purpose in what you're doing. I think right now it's kind of interesting because of like this whole coronavirus COVID thing. I've actually talked to somebody who works at a retail store at a grocery shop just lately, just by coincidence, and having social distancing in place. So we basically yelled at each other from like 10 feet apart, which was really awkward. But she was super happy to work there. And she said for the first time in her life, she sees this not only as a job that gives her money and like allows her to pay her rent, but actually be like finding some purpose. Like there's actually people that now depend on her and what she's doing. And that's kind of interesting. Yeah,
and that comes back to the topic is like, what do you define as success? I mean, everybody is different. Let's coming back to your mini game series. Like I'm playing a mini game right now that is, I'm okay with it. I'm not passionate about it, but I know how I can win it. Now, the definition that I put in place is I don't need to be passionate about it because I can win the game by setting the target for myself. But this is a very fortunate situation. What I really, really dislike about the podcast is where the guy is ultimately Simon Sinek is saying like, oh yeah, you know, if you don't like it, leave it. Everybody has the choice to work in an environment that he feels safe in, that he strives the best and where he finds fulfillment. I think this is such a privileged mindset that is only accessible to a smaller portion of the world population. Sure. It's the first time in history where we really have a large, like a significant amount of the population that can strive for self-fulfillment, which is like, if you look at the Maslow pyramid, you have your basic needs, safety, and like physiological needs, like food, shelter, rest, and so on. Then you have your psychological needs where you go, it's like, okay, you need belonging and you need love, and then you also need to have some form of esteem, appreciation from other people. Yeah. Very few people are in the league that they can say, okay, check, 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 and go to the top where we say like, okay, you know what? Let's go for self-fulfillment.
I agree.
And I think you and me,
situation. That's true. I think you have to remember like who Simon Sinek's audience is. It's definitely not the poor of the world. He's like a leadership coach guy. And I think there's always like he tends to have this patronizing voice whenever he talks that's really like, listen to me, I have eaten knowledge with a big spoon and like you're doing it wrong, basically. Like that whole TED talk around start with why, like that is like a teacher teaching school children. Like it's like really him speaking from the mountain to the masses that are dumb. I think it's somewhat patronizing. And that is, I think, what you mean. Like that's the same essence of what you mean. That he is, it's really not applicable for everybody. Like, I don't know if you're living in a poor country.
Tell somebody from Senegal or the Congo, tell them, yeah, you know what, if you don't work, like working in a slavery gold mine, you know what, if that's not the work environment that fulfills you, you go and look for
something else. Go work in a cobalt mine.
Starving. Yeah, but then you go into starvation. Go to the US. No, actually, there are physical borders that prevent you from stuff. Even us coming from a privileged background in terms of nationality, it's hard to go to the US and work. Great. I fulfill my dreams going there? Nope. Ain't that easy.
That's true.
I like the concept where he says people perform better if they're passionate about something and if they see the purpose of something. Everybody defines that purpose and target for themselves. Some people's purpose in life is to have a lot of kids. Great. Some people define it as making the world a better place. Great. All of this I loved about the podcast, especially this particular piece. What I just simply hate is he oversimplifies the world so much, just saying like, yeah, you know what? If you don't like it, change it. If you can't change it, leave it. Yeah, but a lot of people can change it and they can't leave it. And guess what? Some fucked up stuff you also cannot love. So you only have the option of sticking it out and wait it out.
Yeah, and maybe fulfill your dreams within a hobby or something. Like, not everybody can make their job something that they really enjoy. And I think for those, this podcast is really not really helping. I think this is really a podcast for the privileged. I also really enjoyed it. One last thing. I think we're almost at time. One last thing that they discussed about, and something that Lex brought up. He is like this Russian MIT professor who plays guitar. If you look up his guitar videos on YouTube, it's kind of amazing. But he always talks about like the Russians like favoring pain and suffering, and they talk about the topic of hard work and if hard work is actually necessary, right? If like if that's something that is important to life, like you can't feel a fulfilled life if you're not suffering through work. And if you're not like forcing yourself, and eventually also if people, just because of this whole finding purpose in work, if people have just gone soft, I would love to get your take on that. I think we have different opinions on that.
Yeah, I mean, I like how they had an argue about it, because ultimately the Russian guy ultimately says like, oh yeah, you know what? You have to work hard. You have to commit. But the definition is like, okay, what do you define? How do you define hard work? Is it if you own a restaurant or let's say a coffee shop, and you know what? You love doing it. And you work there for, or you spend, yeah, you work there for 18 hours a day, but you love it and you actually like hanging out there. Is it still work? Do you actually, you know, like, do you work hard, or pretty much do you enjoy life at this point? And I think that's where they were getting to. It's if you are passionate about something and you see vision in something, then yes, you have put in a lot of hours. I mean, we both work probably more than the average person in Europe. But
I don't know.
Do we
see? I just chill.
Yeah, okay. You you maybe not, I do. But I work in Asia, so that's a bit different. No, but so in the end, the question is, if you do something with passion and you see purpose in it, do you see it as a job, or do you see it as, oh, I have to put in effort? Maybe, you know what? You just like doing it. That's why you do it.
I think I agree. I think for me, I can feel along with Lex here, because very often when I'm, so let's say last weekend, for example, and it's weird that it's a weekend example, but I'm able and I'm really happy that I can structure my days as I want, pretty much. Like I'm the master of my own time for the most part. So I can basically just say, oh, on a Friday, I'll start working at 12 in the morning, like around noon, basically. It's not morning anymore. And then instead of just working there in the morning, I'll just go ahead and like do something on a Saturday. And 2 weeks ago, for example, I had this coding challenge and I had to just basically pull something together. And I spent the whole Saturday morning coding, but it felt like playing Lego. It felt like a very enjoyable, fun exercise that I worked on for around 5 hours, and I was just exhausted, but super happy. And then it still felt like I cheated, because I felt like I didn't work. It felt like I had a lot of fun doing something and actually get paid for it. And that, for me, feels like cheating. You know? Like, I don't think hard work is definitely necessary. Like, it shouldn't be, there shouldn't be, like, a weekly portion of hard work that you have to go through, even though you don't like it. It's like, no pain, no gain. Like, this whole, like, the analogy for me would be working out. Like, until your muscles ache, and, like, it's really brutal, and you can't breathe anymore, and you're really exhausted. like, you can't really get stronger if you're not getting to this point. So it's ultimately necessary. So what I'm describing is really just like, I'm getting stronger without feeling exhausted. And that feels like cheating to me. And I feel bad about it for some reason.
But you do feel exhausted, but not in a bad way. So you feel exhausted because, oh, that was a lot of work, but it was good. You don't feel exhausted because it's stress. And coming again back to this, that's an extremely privileged situation we are in. I mean, you more than me, because, I mean, you can organize your time freely. For me, I have to get up at 5:30 to work. And I come home at 9.
That is the worst life.
Yes, that's what you think. But for me, I'm most of the time interested in what I do. So for me, it doesn't feel like I'm wasting my time. I do see a purpose in it. I'm not always passionate about it, but I see a purpose in it. So, but we are fortunate in this. Now, you remember when we were teenagers and we were working in a factory?
I do remember that quite vividly, yes.
If you think back to those times, those people did not have an alternative. And for them, ultimately, more work translates directly into more money.
That's true.
We don't have this correlation necessarily. So for us, it's work smart, not hard. It's like what I tell my people, my staffs, if they can get their shit done in 1 hour, great for you. Chill out 23 hours a day. If it takes you 16 hours, either they are not capable of doing their job, or I'm a dick boss because obviously I'm giving them too much work.
That's a good point. So I guess a little bit of cheating. Maybe that's a recipe. Like, just try to give people challenges, not around working like a fixed amount of time and kind of burning themselves out. So like, give them the challenge and not the time frame. I think this is a pretty good roundup. So we really just talked about like the whole episode of the podcast with Lex Fridman and Simon Sinek. We talked about the finite infinite game. We talked a little bit about hard work and leadership. And we'd love to understand if you like this podcast, if this is kind of the way you want to listen to things. We can really, for myself, I can really highly recommend the podcast. I don't know, Bastian, what about you?
Yeah, actually, I really like it. It's just, I think he needs to cut some of the commercials, and they need to, I mean, you have to understand it. And it's not referring to people are stupid or not smart enough. This is more that you have to be in a situation to reflect on what they're actually saying and take the best value out of it for you.
That's true. So for everybody still listening, thank you so much for listening to this first episode of Onion Opinion. You can tweet at us at OnionOpinion69. That's our Twitter handle. We'll have a form attached to this podcast, so just go to the podcast notes and find the survey URL. We'd love to hear from you, if you liked it or not, if you think it stinks, or if you liked it, and also if you liked the episode of the Lex Fridman podcast. You can also find that linked in the show notes. And that's it for us today.